Chapter 2. Extraordinary Murders. Not long after, we were looking over an evening edition of the newspaper. The following items caught our attention. Extraordinary Murders. At about 3 o'clock this morning, residents of the Rue Saint-Roch area were awakened by screams. They were reported as coming from the fourth story of a house in the Rue Morgue. Madame L'Espanay and her daughter, Mademoiselle Camille L'Espanay, are the only people who live at this address. Neighbors tried to open the gate and eventually had to use an iron bar to break it open. 8 or 10 of these neighbors, along with 2 police officers, entered the house. By this time, the screaming had stopped. As the party rushed up the first flight of stairs, 2 or more voices were heard. The voices were rough and sounded angry. They seemed to be coming from the upper part of the house. As the second landing was reached, these sounds had also stopped and everything remained perfectly quiet. The party spread themselves and hurried from room to room. A back room on the fourth floor was locked with the key on the inside. It was forced open, and the scene inside was horrific. The room was in the wildest disorder, the furniture broken and thrown about in all directions. There was only 1 bed frame, and its mattress was on the floor. On a chair lay a razor covered in blood. On the hearth were 2 or 3 long and thick locks of gray human hair. They were bloody and seemed to have been pulled out by the roots. Some jewelry, silver spoons, and 2 bags containing nearly 4,000 francs in gold were found on the floor. The drawers of the dresser were open and had been rifled through. Many items of clothing remained in them. A small iron safe was found under the mattress. It was open, with the key still in the door. There was nothing in it but some old letters and other unimportant papers. There was no sign of Madame L'Espanay in the room. A search was made in the chimney. There, a horrific discovery was made. The corpse of the daughter had been forced up the chimney, head downward, a considerable distance. The body was quite warm. Much of the skin had been scraped, no doubt from being forced up the chimney. The face was scratched severely, and on the throat there were dark bruises and deep fingernail indentations as if the deceased had been strangled. After a thorough investigation of the house revealed nothing, the party made its way out to the small paved yard in the back. There they found the corpse of the old lady. Her throat had been cut so entirely that her head fell off when someone tried to lift her. The body was so badly mutilated it did not look human. To this horrible mystery, there is not as yet, we believe, the slightest clue that has been found. The next day's paper had these additional details. The tragedy in the Rue Morgue. Many individuals have been questioned in relation to this most extraordinary and horrific affair. Nothing has happened, though, to throw light upon it. We give below all the information gathered. Pauline Dubourg states that she has known both the deceased for 3 years. During that period, she washed their clothes. The old lady and her daughter seemed to be on good terms. They were very affectionate toward each other. They also paid well. Dubourg did not know how they earned their money. She believed that Madame L'Espanay told fortunes for a living and was said to have money put away. When she came to collect or drop off clothes, she never met anyone in the house besides the 2 women. She was sure that they did not employ a maid. There appeared to be no furniture in any part of the building except in the fourth story. Pierre Moreau states that he has been selling small quantities of tobacco to Madame L'Espanay for nearly 4 years. He was born in the neighborhood and has always lived there. The 2 deceased had occupied the house in which the corpses were found for more than 6 years. It was formerly occupied by a jeweler who rented out the upper rooms to several different people. The house was owned by Madame L'Espanay. She was unhappy with the abuse of the premises by her tenant and moved into them herself, refusing to rent out any section of it. A witness had seen the daughter some 5 or 6 times during the 6 years. The 2 kept to themselves and were said to have money. He had heard it said among the neighbors that Madame L'Espanay told fortunes, though he did not believe it. He had never seen any person enter the door except the old lady and her daughter, and a doctor about 8 or 10 times. Many other neighbors gave evidence to the same effect. No one was said to have visited the house regularly. It was not known whether there were any living relations of Madame L'Espanay and her daughter. The shutters of the front windows were seldom opened. Those in the rear were always closed, with the exception of the large back room on the fourth story. The house was a good house and not very old. Isidore Musset is the police officer who was called to the house at about 3 o'clock in the morning. He states that there he found 20 or 30 people trying to get in the gate. He forced it open, which was not very difficult. The shrieks continued until the gate was forced open, and then suddenly stopped. They seemed to be screams of some person, or persons, in a lot of pain. They were loud and drawn out, not short and quick. Musset led the way up the stairs. Upon reaching the first landing, he heard two loud and angry voices. One was gruff and the other shrill. The latter was a very strange voice. The former was a Frenchman, and he could distinguish some words. He was positive that it was not a woman's voice. He was able to distinguish the words sacré and diable. The shrill voice was that of a foreigner. He could not be sure whether it was the voice of a man or of a woman. He could not make out what was said, but believed the language to be Spanish. The state of the room and of the bodies was described by this witness as we described them yesterday. Henri Duval states that he was a member of the party who first entered the house. His testimony confirms that of Musset in general. As soon as they broke through the gate, they closed the door behind them to keep out the gathering crowd. The shrill voice, this witness thinks, was that of an Italian. He was certain it was not French. He cannot be sure that it was a man's voice. It might have been a woman's. He is not familiar with the Italian language and could not distinguish the words. Still, he was convinced by the intonation that the speaker was an Italian. He knew Madame L'Espanay and her daughter. Having conversed with both frequently, he was sure that the shrill voice was not either of theirs. Odenheimer volunteered his testimony. Not speaking French, he was examined through an interpreter. He is a native of Amsterdam. At the time of the shrieks, he was passing by the house. They lasted for several minutes, probably 10, he guessed. They were long and loud, very awful and troubling. He was one of the people who entered the building. His statement was the same as the previous witnesses in every respect but one. He was sure that the shrill voice was that of a man, a Frenchman. He cannot distinguish the words uttered. They were loud and quick, uneven, spoken apparently in fear as well as in anger. The voice was harsh, not so much shrill as harsh, he stated, and he could not call it a shrill voice. The gruff voice said repeatedly, Sacre, Diable, and once, Mon Dieu. Jules Mignot is Madame L'Espanay's banker. He stated that she had some property. She had opened an account with his banking house 8 years ago. She made frequent deposits in small sums. She did not have any outstanding checks. 3 days before her death, she went to the bank and took out 4,000 francs. This sum was paid in gold, and a clerk accompanied Madame L'Espanay to her home. Adolphe Le Bon is a bank clerk. He states that on the day in question at about 12 o'clock in the afternoon, he accompanied Madame L'Espanay to her residence with the 4,000 francs. The money was in two bags. When the door was open, Mademoiselle L'Espanay appeared and took from his hands one of the bags, while the old lady relieved him of the other. He then bowed and left. He did not see any person in the street at the time. It is a side street and very lonely. William Byrd states that he was one of the people who entered the house. He is an Englishman and has lived in Paris for 2 years. He was one of the first to go up the stairs. He said that the gruff voice was that of a Frenchman. He can make out several words, but cannot now remember all of them. He heard distinctly Sacre and Mon Dieu. There was a sound as if several people were struggling, a scraping and scuffling sound. The shrill voice was very loud, louder than the gruff one. Byrd is sure that it was not the voice of an Englishman. To him, it appeared to be that of a German. He said that it might have been a woman's voice. Byrd does not understand German.